and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the lovely Luke Cutforth, and special guest, Vigard.
Yay! Hello.
This week, we're talking about Uranian uncles, but first, we have a wee review.
Ooh.
This one says, "Ahoy! I love this podcast. You guys make things that have never seemed interesting to me before seem so much more fun. I'm a huge fan of the dynamics between you guys, and I love the way that Corey spends a long time collecting information on XYZ topics and Lip derails the conversation. Thank you so much for making this podcast because it's the perfect combination of sillies and science."
Well, I look forward to this episode where I attempt to fulfill that prophecy and derail you as much as possible.
And we have a question for everyone listening and watching. If you are listening, go ahead to Spotify or head over to YouTube and answer this question. If you're watching, on YouTube, get down to the comments anyway. Okay, so answer this question. The question is, are you gay and do you have siblings?
No and yes.
Ah, you are gay and you don't have siblings.
Exactly.
What about you?
Yes and yes.
Ah, wow. You are gay and you have siblings.
Yes.
I'm so glad you could come out today, Luke. Have you told your wife?
About my siblings?
Or lack thereof. Anyway, today we're talking about, as you know, the science of being gay. Or more specifically, the science of the gay uncle hypothesis. Now, it is Pride Month. It's June. We're waving our pride flags, and so this entire month we're going to be doing LGBTQ plus topics. We've got some really cool stuff coming up, some topics that people have been asking for a long time, so let this just be a taster of what's to come.
Yay!
So, I want to start off with the evolutionary mystery of homosexuality. Now, you're a gay.
I am a gay.
Why? Why?
Why are you this way?
So, basically, I just, you know, I wanted to have it a little bit harder. So I was like, I'm going to choose to be gay.
Please don't be vulgar so soon into the podcast.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord. Goodness me.
Wow. You know?
I don't know, okay? Because I'm a good Christian boy, and I'm not going to have sex until everyone on the planet is married.
That's what Jesus said on the Sermon of the Mount.
That's what he said on the cross. So, there is some evidence that homosexuality is in some ways heritable, right? So, that doesn't mean that your parents are gay and that makes you gay, you know, like the way that your parents are black and that makes you black. Go watch the race episode to see why that's not true. There's some evidence that homosexuality is in some way heritable. So the BBC, in an article, said that since the early 1990s, researchers have shown that homosexuality is more common in brothers and relatives on the same maternal line, and a genetic factor is taken to be the cause. But the issue arises, obviously, when considering how genetic traits propagate within a population. For humans, there's no lateral gene transfer, right? We're not bacteria. So you can't pass genes.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. You can't catch gay. I can't pass my genes to you.
Not genetically. You could catch it mimetically. All the kids on TikTok making each other gay. That's the theory, isn't it? Someone stupid like that. The sex education's making the kids gay. Something like that.
Yeah.
Mimetic transfer of homosexuality.
I love the way you discuss things. Perfect. Yes, no, absolutely. So what I'm saying is that there's no lateral gene transfer amongst humans. So I have my genes all in my DNA. I can't be like, oh, this is a good little gene. You want this gene?
Delicious. Yum, yum.
You can't have it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The only way that I can share... Thank you. The only way that I can share my genes with anyone else is through sexual reproduction. And even then, I'm not giving you my genes to keep. I'm giving you my genes to make a little baby and pop that one out, right? Like, you don't get to keep my genes. The only people that are going to get my genes are people that are sort of below me in the sort of, you know...
Social hierarchy.
Children are below me in the social hierarchy, I suppose. But, and also my kids at this point are going to be more white than me, so they're going to be above me. Anyway, So, no, my point is...
God.
People say this when I make jokes about racism, and I'm like, I'm not the racist one. I'm merely pointing it out,
yes,
okay?
Yes.
No, so my point is that I can only pass genes down the sort of line. I can't, you know, pass them to someone else that already existing. The only way you can pass genes on as a human is through sexual reproduction to produce offspring. So this would basically bring up the sort of idea of natural selection, right? So your genes are your blueprint for you. You get them from your parents, right? We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your genes contribute positively towards you producing offspring, then you'd be more likely to produce offspring than those around you. So for example, if Vigard has a gene that makes it really likely that he's going to, you know, find a lady friend and make a bit... Oh, hold on, wait, no, hold on. Now, if Luke has a gene that makes it, like, okay, let's say...
It was too unrealistic. Even the water, like...
I was picturing it, you know, and I just couldn't.
Follow that sentence through.
Mine was conclusion. Blank. I've never had more aphantasia than in that moment. So if Luke, for example, let's say that red hair, you know, being a ginge, was something that meant you were more likely to produce offspring. It conferred some kind of benefit.
Unlikely.
Let's pretend, hypothetically speaking. Now, let's say that was the case. Now, if Luke was in a population of people that had, you know, some of them had red hair and some of them had different hair colors that, you know, weren't as good as this red hair as, you know, getting him to produce offspring, then you'd expect Luke to have more offspring, or, you know, the people with red hair to have more offspring than the others, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that would mean is that the genes that you have would be more common in the next generation, and it'd be likely that those red hair genes would be more common in the next generation, whereas the genes for other hair colors would be less common in the next generation because they're less likely to produce offspring.
The dream.
You know, so conversely, genes that hinder your ability to produce offspring are less likely to be present in the next generation. So in reality, having red hair, for example, makes you less likely to produce offspring because... Oh, I don't need to say it. Okay, wow. That was mean. I'm making fun of... It's not gingers I dislike. It's only Luke. So... okay. So let's say that you had a gene that hindered your ability to produce offspring. So for example, if we go to the absolute, you know, the absolute extreme of this, let's say there was a gene that caused you to be infertile, right? You'd be unlikely to pass that gene on. Or if there was a gene that caused you to, you know, to die before puberty, you would be less likely to pass that gene on. And so that gene would be less present in the population because people with that gene would have a lower likelihood of reaching the age of sexual maturity and being able to find a mate and then produce offspring. And not just people, organisms, right? This is basically natural selection, survival of the fittest, right? So what is the issue here when it comes to the gays?
Well, I mean, obviously... at least for all of human history, other than where they went against their natural sexual instincts, the gays have generally not had babies because they are gay. So they have to...
I didn't know where that was going.
Yeah, I was really... I swear to God, I was so stressed out for a moment there. We had an eye contact moment. Like, I did not know where you were going with that.
Do I need to explain this?
No. It's when you said going against their natural... And I was like... What's going on there? You ended it perfectly well. That's okay. Perfectly fine. It's just it stuck.
The gays have sex with not people who they can make babies with, usually. So unless they don't do that for a bit, they're not likely to pass in their genes. So if being gay is genetic, how is the gene propagating itself?
Ooh, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you read some books and you find out how.
Right. Keep thinking genes, like genes, not
like
genes.
Denim.
Yes. And it was really funny. I was just... imagining that the whole time.
The reason that you are the way you are is because your parents had a pair of jeans that they got from their parents and they gave them to you.
Yes.
You know, it's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants, right? Which, by the way, seeing the name of that book series as a British person, that was very strange. The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is a book series for young girls. It is not about girls sharing a pair of underwear. It's about sharing a pair of trousers.
Yes, right.
That one was one...
That needs to be like be Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone for England.
It does, okay. Yeah. Like it gives it same with fanny packs. Okay, I had to explain to a British person the other day. Like they were like, oh, we call them fanny packs at home. And I'm like, no, we don't call them fanny packs. he was like, why? Wait, what? But like because you know why? Because fanny pack is an American because it's the same as bum bag because fanny means bum in America. In the UK, it doesn't mean that.
What if you wear it on your front? It can be a fanny pack then.
So anyway, by virtue of the fact that most homosexuals will be in a relationship with someone with whom they can't conceive children, it means that they'd be less likely to pass down their genes, right? Homosexuals produce biological kids at you know, a lower rate than heterosexual people. And of course, artificial insemination is now an option, but from the perspective of, you know, human evolution, it's a relatively recent advancement, and it doesn't really explain anything that came before it. So, given the apparent evolutionary dead end of homosexuality, how has the trait persisted in the gene pool and not just disappeared into the biological ether?
I know the answer.
What's the answer?
It propagates through other people who do not actually express the trait of homosexuality, and that homosexuality is some sort of strategy, like evolutionary strategy, that can be activated or not activated depending on environmental factors, for example. In the same way that the gene that codes for the runt of a litter of puppies dying propagates in the other puppies that don't die because they weren't the one that didn't have that had the least food, so that gene didn't activate, but they still carry it and they still pass it on to their children.
That's one potential explanation, right? And what I want to do is pull our minds out of just the genetic answers and consider the sort of broader aspect of gayness, because gayness isn't necessarily inherently genetic or entirely genetic, right? I mean, we've done an entire episode on the gay gene, so maybe there are other things. That's definitely a hypothesis, and we'll definitely cover that. But I don't want to sort of get the idea across that that is 100% definitely the way that this happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the first one I kind of want to talk about is, have you heard about the maternal immune response?
Yeah. Yes, I think. Is this about stress in the womb?
Not necessarily stress in the womb. Okay, so what I'll talk about is, do you know the fraternal birth order effect?
No.
Okay, so...
Do you, Vega?
No.
Put it this way. How many older brothers do you have?
Two.
You're the youngest of three brothers?
Yes.
This is a very common thing. Mm. So,
I kind of knew this. I thought that it was this, that it was like the youngest one. It's so basic of me to turn out gay.
Yeah, no, it is. So Ray Blanchard and Anthony Bogart, let's not talk about who Ray Blanchard is or get into that at all, because I don't want to open that kettle of worms. that can of worms. So they were looking to the fraternal birth order effect, and apparently that each older brother increased the probability of being gay by about 33%. That was their first investigation, right? Now, a meta-analysis indicated that between 15 and 29% of gay men owe their sexual orientation to this effect. That's not necessarily the best way to describe this. What that means to say is that 15 to 29% of gay men, have older brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, over 10,000 subjects you're probably a bit more likely to be gay if you have older brothers, mm-hmm. which is an interesting thing, right? And there's a few different explanations for this. So the idea kind of is that if a mother, you know, has one baby boy, right? Her womb is like, oh, it's a baby boy. This is different. Because bear in mind, you know, there are different hormones and things going on in there. Different sort of like, there's slight differences between baby boys and baby girls. And when I say this, I mean cis boys, cis girls, males and females, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say it that way, right? If you have a male child, there are different developmental pathways that are followed than, you know, if you have a female child in the womb, right? And the idea is essentially that having one boy, and then having a second boy, and then having more boys makes the sort of mother's immune system react slightly differently to each of those, to each successive child. So that, you know, it's washed with different hormones. There's a different sort of uterine environment, and that different uterine environment causes the boy to be more female typical, right? Mm. And have a female attraction.
Dubious.
Yeah, look, it's not the best way of describing it, right? There's no like sort of definitive, this is absolutely the case, this is exactly how it works. But There's biochemical evidence indicating that the increased incidence of homosexuality in males with older brothers results from progressive immunization of the mothers against a male-specific cell adhesion protein that plays a key role in cell-cell interactions, right? Essentially, the idea is that having more male children changes the uterine environment, mm-hmm. the environment of the, you know, of the womb, essentially, mm-hmm. which means that there are going to be differences in, you know, the environment of the child in that womb. Mm-hmm. So different environment could cause a different sort of expression of genes or a different outcome, essentially, a different phenotype.
After
right?
the second child, the womb's just like a gay bar.
Yeah. It's like, it makes them gay. Oh, it's like you know, the thing that they're putting in the water that's turning the frogs gay. It's like, I'm making that, you know? I don't know. But there's some evidence. It's none of it is sort of, you know, what bugs me about this is people will speak about this and be very, very sort of sure of it. They'll be like, this is it. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah.
Look, we've got some evidence, but we don't know for sure. I mean, we don't have any idea what makes people gay.
But we have evidence of the fact that the womb changes in some way progressively as you have more and more male children.
Yeah,
whether that makes you gay or not is a separate thing up for discussion, but the actual environment is different with progressive male babies.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea is that there is, progressive immunization of the mother against a male-specific cell adhesion protein. Yeah, like, there are changes to how the mother's immune system sort of interacts with what's going on in the uterus.
That makes plenty of sense why that might happen.
Yeah, the difficulty with this as well is that we're looking at gayness as a thing, as a category, but it's not necessarily a thing. It's very much a spectrum, right?
Being gay isn't a thing. How dare you?
I forgot you were here.
I come on this podcast to be roasted.
Stop doing that. We've told you to keep your hands up here and not below the desk, okay? Stop it. No coming on this podcast.
What? Oh, very good.
No, my point is that, you know, being gay is not, it's not like a strict phenotype, right? There's very much a spectrum of sexuality. Like, one gay man is not going to be exactly the same as another gay man, right? Like,
yeah,
that's...
Neil's different to his mother, I assume.
Name literally one other. Name literally one other.
Mother gay man. Mother gay man and father gay man. There must have been a mother and father gay man. Maybe Mr. Gay man has children.
That's very heteronormative of you, Luke. Why is there not two father gay man, huh?
Oh, no, I really stuck my foot in it here.
Or a parent gay man of indeterminate gender.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It's Pride Month and you're being openly heteronormative. Phobic normative.
Cis and heteronormative, yes.
There was a lot of words in there.
Yep. Look, my point is that, you know, we class people as being gay, but ultimately that doesn't mean that their sexuality is exactly the same. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily the same thing, you know, presenting, right? Like, okay, so just because we put these people in the same category doesn't mean that they are exactly the same thing or they're expressing the exact same phenotype. For example, you could be attracted to very different kinds of men than other people are attracted to. Sexuality is too complex and fluid to really understand it purely in the basis of gay, yeah, straight, and bi. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's a fraternal birth order effect, right? That's, you know, one idea for how some people can be gay. But not all gay men are younger siblings, you know? You can be a gay man and be the oldest brother. That's perfectly valid. It's okay. But there are some other ideas for, you know, sort of genetic explanations for homosexuality. One being the idea that genes that code for homosexuality do other stuff too.
Wow. Not just a one-trick pony.
Exactly. No, and this is one of the reasons that there's many reasons that eugenics sucks, but like, this is one of the reasons that eugenics doesn't work, scientifically speaking. Do you know what eugenics is, either of you?
Is that like picking and choosing the genes you want?
Not just, I mean, yes, in a sense, it's more picking and choosing the kinds of people you want to have offspring.
You're right.
Right? So, I mean, Luke, do you want to give an explanation of eugenics? You're kind of an expert in it.
Yeah, so it's like, at the extreme, I'm an expert in it. Thanks, Corey, very much for that. Not an expert in the slightest. It's like the idea, like, so for example, under the Nazis, the idea was like, let's create a master race and also let's get rid of, types of people we deem undesirable, like gay people or disabled people, with the sort of general view of like making society stronger or that kind of stuff, and selectively breeding, basically. Kind of like what we do to dogs to a certain extent, but with people, and much more messed up than what we do with dogs.
Yeah, I guess socially speaking, it is more messed up than what we do with dogs. The only reason I'm taking like, oh, is it more? Because with dogs, we look at pugs. Look at how so many different kinds of dogs have so many different, like, congenital problems, right? Like,
yeah,
that's and that's the result of eugenics, right? If you okay, so for example, right, there are sausage dogs. The reason that they look that way is not because they've got long bodies. It's because their legs are short. Why are their legs short? Because there's a gene that essentially makes you sort of stunt leg growth. Like if you knock out that gene, it will stop the legs from growing properly. And that also controls something else, which means that these dogs end up having problems purely like directly related to the fact that their legs are. The growth is stunted, mm-hmm. right? And you can you look through any number of dog breeds, right? You will see, oh, most pugs end up having this problem, and there's no way to breed it out of them because it's directly related to, you know, whatever trait you're trying to sort of get. Mm-hmm. So do you know what an allele is?
Oh God, I've forgotten.
A-L-L-E-L-E. It's like a sort of a group of genes, or rather, an allele is the different sort of. So, okay, we have largely the same genes, right?
Right.
But I can have, like, one of my genes that is, you know, the same kind of gene as yours. My gene can be slightly different. So, for example, like, eye color, right?
It's like a gene variant.
Variants of genes, that's the word. Yes. Variant, yes. So, it, like, alleles are basically variants of the same gene, right? Yeah. Like, so the idea is that it could code for homosexuality, but it could also code for something that has, like, a strong reproductive benefit. So, in some cases, you know, in some presentations, it could make you gay, but another, like, you know, it could also make you better at producing offspring in another way. So mm-hmm. whilst one organism with that gene, oh, it's like, oh yes, I'm going to have lots of offspring. The other one with that is like, oh yeah, I'm going to not do that. I didn't want to say anything openly homophobic. What do gays do?
Kiss men.
I guess. Men. Yeah. I don't know what gay men do. I've not been a gay man I've never been gay.
When okay. did you stop being gay?
I never started. Everyone thought I was gay, and I was like, I'm not. It really bugs me when people think I'm gay. It's like, look, you don't need to be gay to sleep with men, right?
Yeah.
I can sleep with as many guys as I want and not be gay. Not straight, but not gay. Anyway, there are a couple ways that this could happen. So one way is that this allele has basically a result of making straight men more attractive to women or straight women more attractive to men. So it says here, we know that women tend to like more feminine behavioral features and facial features in their men, and that might be associated with things like good parenting skills or greater empathy. That's from Kazi Rahman, who's a co-author of Born Gay, The Psychobiology of Sex Orientation. So this, you know, hypothetically speaking, a low dose of these alleles. So if you've got, like, you know, oh God, genes are more complicated than you think. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not just a case of like, you have this version of the gene or that version of the gene. It could also be like it's expressed to a greater degree or a lesser degree. It's very complex. Okay. So I'm going to be speaking kind of like broadly about it and not in the most technical way, because if I tried to be technical, one, I'd get it wrong. I've not studied genetics for a long time, and two, it would be above too many people's heads. So if you've got like a low sort of dose of the, if the genes aren't super strong, if the, like that allele isn't super strong, you know, in your DNA, then it could enhance your ability to have offspring. But if you've got like, if it's really strongly expressed, then that could make you gay. Right. And you can consider this in the sense of like, OK, let's say there was one genetic cause of, let's say, aggression. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, a small amount of aggression might be useful to you. Right. It might be good. But a large amount of aggression. No, like a small amount of aggression. You stand up for yourself. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, hey, you stay away from my mate.
OK.
Because she does not want you. And I want to mate with her and not you.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh wow,
I'm sorry,
that's just so nice that he's nice. I mean, if you've got too much aggression, you're like, I hate you and you and my mate. Ah, and she's like, oh, I don't want to have offspring with you.
Yes,
that's how animals work.
That's
biology.
Exactly, that's exactly how both animals and women work. It's exactly a perfect description.
I really hate trying to like explain this stuff in simple ways. Because, yeah, look, I could use a specific example from, like, some animal or whatever, but, like, there's so many factors that go into it, man.
You're going to be wrong somehow.
Like, that's what I love about biology. Even when you're right, you're wrong. Like, like, truly, like, you're never correct in biology. There's no such thing as correct. There's just, the idea there is that, you know, a different level of expression of this gene or a different dosage of these alleles, right, would can have different effects. To some degree, it's like, oh, yes, you're very attractive and better at producing offspring. To a greater degree, less. But like the allele itself is still being passed down. It's just like how much you express it, right? So that's kind of the idea there. And there's another way that it could, that this gay gene or gay allele could compensate for the fact that it makes you worse at producing biological offspring. No offense.
You're just bad at it.
Yeah.
You are
even tried.
I don't know how to answer this question.
Off pod. Have you ever been with a girl?
No.
No,
so
he's
you've not
tried.
Even tried. That's on pod now.
That's on pod. Sorry. It's on pod. I lied.
It's fine.
Yo, bro just told us he's out.
I did have... I was girlfriends with everyone in my class.
You were girlfriends.
Well... yes. No, I was like...
Like the lady beard.
Yes. Well, everyone in my class when I was like six.
That makes sense, though. That's exactly what I've just said. Yeah. That being a bit gay... Because I assume you were less gay when you were six, because like your gayness just increased with age, right? If you were less gay when you were six, then those little 6-year-olds were doing like, damn, that's a 6-year-old I want to hold hands with.
Is your gayness increasing with age? You're gonna what is gonna happen to you when you're like 70?
It's gonna be I don't know. Just...
Thank God it's not exponential, because like this level of gay already. Whoa. No. So another way that this. A gay allele could, you know, counteract its just reproductive, I mean, sort of deficit, that's the word they're using there, and I couldn't find another word, is basically by having different effects in different sexes. So, and bear in mind, biological sex as a binary category is overly simplified to an insane degree, even if you take into account intersex people, saying there's broadly three sex categories. It's very simplified, right? But let's just use the two categories for now as an easy simplification, right? Let's say for males, this allele makes you gay. But for females, it makes you very good at producing offspring, right? Then you could see, it could be passed down through the mother. So the mother's like, oh, I'm really good at producing offspring. Boom, 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 boom. And then some of those offspring are like, I'm so gay. And then they're like, I'm not going to produce any offspring. But the girls, they're like, I'm so good at producing offspring. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, it keeps on getting passed down, despite the fact that the boys are like, I'm so gay, I'm having no offspring. Woo! Martinis. I don't know what a gay's like. I don't know what gay's like. I, like, honestly, for this episode, I was like, oh, I need to contact a gay man friend of mine. And I was like, I was speaking to Noah. I was like, who do I know that's gay?
I don't think I speak for gay people with drinks, though, because I drink gin and tonics and everyone hates that. So.
No, gays like gin and tonics, don't they? Feels like a very gay drink.
Really?
Is that, oh my God, people are going to say I'm homophobic. I'm not homophobic.
The most un-gay person I know loves gin and tonics.
Ling, is that the ad bell?
I hope so. We don't have any other bells in this room.
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have in this room, Luke. We don't have people who have subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and followed us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I actually have done all those things.
I have too. But why don't we tell people about why specifically that is a very cool and interesting thing for them to do?
Well, we want to be everywhere with you all the time. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we want to be there with you. If you're on Spotify, we want to be there with you. And if you're on YouTube, we want to be there with you. And you probably want us to be there with you too.
Even if you prefer to listen on Spotify and don't really watch us on YouTube all that much, it really helps if you subscribe on every single platform, because it gets us in front of more people, which means it makes it easier to make this show, which you love, right? You love it. You love us, right?
Give me love. Validate my soul.
Subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify right now.
Heal the deep, deep chasm in my heart.
Let's get back to the show. When I was planning this episode, I was like chatting, like, oh, what gay men do I know? And I couldn't think of any. Like, I couldn't think of any of them. And then I realized, I think I know like two gay men?
Like exclusively gay
yeah.
men.
Yeah, exclusively yeah, yeah, yeah. gay. Yeah. All the gays I know are not gay. Like,
yes.
Like they're all bi.
I always say like gay, usually meaning most sexualities.
Right?
Other than straight.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, I have lots of gay friends, but I don't think I do.
No, exactly. And like, we've got an episode about bisexual women. And I was trying to think like, okay, which bi women do I know that aren't lesbians now? Because, like, so many of them were bi, and then they're like, actually, no, I'm a lesbian. I'm like, damn it. She realized she was a lesbian last year. Damn it. Oh, gotta catch one of them.
Before they change.
But, like, no, look, and the reasoning behind this, it's not like, oh, all bi women are actually lesbians. No, it's just the whole comp-het thing. So there's mm-hmm. plenty of people who would identify as lesbian, but they sort of feel obligated to have an attraction to men. They identify as bi and then realize later that they're actually lesbians. But that doesn't mean that bi women aren't valid. Bi women definitely exist. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So that's sort of the way that a gay gene, even though there's no evidence for there being one single gay gene, we've covered it in the gay gene episode, go and watch that. That's how, you know, a genetic cause for homosexuality could still propagate itself throughout a population. But there's also another one that you mentioned maybe up top a little bit. Why don't we talk about that? It is the gay uncle hypothesis.
Gunkle. Horrible, I hate that word.
But you are one.
Yeah.
You're a gunkle.
I am a gunkle. To
Gildren.
Gildren.
Gefuse or geeses.
To Gefuse.
So, the gay uncle hypothesis. What do you know about it, Vigard, as a gay uncle?
I know that I'm gay and that I'm an uncle.
That's not a hypothesis.
So that's a.
What do you think hypothesis means as a gay uncle?
You know, I'm just gonna. I don't even know what I'm gonna say.
Look, what's a hypothesis?
It's like
I know what a hypothesis is technically, but I'm not even gonna try to say because I will. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm bilingual. This is my.
I thought you were gay! Damn it!
I thought you were American.
To be fair, I did get asked a lot if I was gay or just Norwegian when I was on YouTube.
Norwegians are like the least gay Europeans, yeah. though. Like, I don't see a Norwegian man and I think gay, you know? Swedish, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have ABBA.
Oh my lord.
So the gay uncle hypothesis, to drag us back to something sampling the point, I think I'll sort of have a stab at it.
Whoa, no hate crimes here, please.
It would be that there is a genetic advantage to, for example, a mother and her child in her brother, for example, being gay, because he's then not necessarily going off and having children of his own,
mm-hmm.
So can potentially lend some of his free time to raising the child of his sister,
mm-hmm.
and that would have a genetic advantage. So the gene would be selected for in the gene pool, and crucially, the child of the mother might carry that gene, but it not be expressed in the child, and it just happened that it was expressed in her brother.
Yes, yeah. Exactly what I was going to say. Just a moment ago.
Yeah, is that why you moved to a different country?
Why? Wait,
to make sure you could care for your nieces and nephews.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Virtually.
Wait, do your nieces and nephews live in Norway?
Yeah.
So you specifically shunned the gunkle life and went, I'm not lending my free time to learn how to your children.
Look, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to gunkles here, okay? Yeah,
you've got the worst gunkle. It's a terrible example of a gunkle.
Look, I can have, you know, I'm a very exciting gunkle because they can be like, oh yeah, he lives in, you know, the UK. That's really, I feel like they'll find that really exciting. And then I can come on with really cool gift.
Tell that to
and,
all.
Oh,
the,
but hold on.
Tell that to all the children of single parents.
But biologically speaking,
it's a really interesting dad. He lives on the other side of the world.
Biologically speaking, though, imagine this, right? When those kids grow up, they're like, my uncle lives in the UK. He's very cool, and they might be like, someone might be like, oh wow, I want to be with this person because they've got cool family members, and they're that gene is going to be passed on to the next generation.
That specifically, that is why the Gunkle gene continued to propagate through the gene pool.
Yes, this specific situation.
Despite the fact
started
that
here.
Airplane travel wasn't invented yet. Yeah. Borders were probably a lot stricter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I don't think borders would have been stricter. Why would borders be strict? What do you mean by borders?
Like, as in, like, immigration. Like, immigration has been liberalized in the last few decades, in part because of travel, and also in part because of, like, economic migration, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but, like a few thousand years ago, it was, you know...
There just were no borders.
Yeah, exactly.
Just turn up.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Okay, good. No, so, there are a couple of people who are testing this idea. So, have you ever heard of, I was going to say, have you heard of Samoa? I'm sure you've heard of Samoa.
The place.
Yeah, the place.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant to ask. Have you ever heard of the sort of gay uncles of Samoa?
No.
Now, I'm going to butcher this word, and I'm very sorry. It's, I think, fa'afafina. Basically, there are male homosexuals there who are sort of basically a sort of third gender category. So they're not really man or woman. They're effeminate. They're exclusively gay, exclusively homosexual, like Vicard here.
Congratulations.
Thanks. What do I win?
Nothing. What, you want a prize for being gay?
Yes.
Jesus. Just get on like the rest of us. So basically they've looked into this group because they're so distinct, you know, because they tend to be very effeminate and they're exclusively homosexual, and there's kind of like almost a third gender category for them. It's easy to sort of measure them. That kind of getting around the problem that I was mentioning earlier, where what is being gay, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's too broad a category to really like kneel down and be like, what's the cause of this? Now, this group of I say men, but like if it's like a third, they're not really seen as being either men or women.
Gunkles.
If the fa'afafina, they found that they're really altruistic towards their nieces and nephews, so they'll pay for sort of tuitions, they'll babysit a lot, and they're more altruistic than Samoan women or heterosexual men, right? And it literally says it's interesting. That's interesting alone, but there's not a clear explanation for why they act that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and. To be clear, right? Like, you know, you can still have nieces and nephews and not be childless, right? And still not treat them that way. But they found that amongst this group of people that this is very common. And so they've tried to figure out what was going on there. And so they got samples of the fa'afafina. Gosh,
I love that you're like gradually giving up on trying.
So they got a big group of the fa'afafina, and they got a big group of men and heterosexual men and women, and they basically gave them a questionnaire, seeing how willing they were to partake in caretaking of their nieces and nephews. And what they found was that, you know, there wasn't, you'd expect, you know, to maybe see a correlation between willingness to help sort of younger people and your willingness to care, look after your nieces and nephews. But there wasn't, you know, a super strong link between those two factors for the fa'afafina, which would suggest that it's like specifically because they're family that they're behaving this way, right? They're not just willing to help any young people, specifically their ones, mm-hmm. right? It literally says they had a much weaker link between their avuncular behavior and their altruism towards kids generally, right? So essentially what that means is they are more likely to help their family members who are like younger than they are to help any other kids. Like, I don't care about these kids, whatever. I can love you, my niece and nephews. I'll help you do anything you want.
I think what's really interesting, I'm sorry if you're going to get onto this, but I think what's really interesting to talk about with this is that one of the theories as to why those people, why people with this sort of gay uncle theory are specifically homosexual as opposed to just like not interested in having sex is because the homosexuality allows them like a sexuality outlet that doesn't result in children that would conflict with their like mm-hmm. genetic goal in big quotes to care for their close-ish mm-hmm. relatives.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. It's almost like because it does sort of have that. It looks like almost like a genetic hack that like because they still have it hasn't like gotten rid of the sexual drive entirely. It's just been like, okay, what if we redirect the sexual drive over to here, which doesn't result in children. And then where does the altruism go? Where does the caregiving instinct go? Yeah. Oh, it goes to your nearest relatives who need help.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the really interesting thing about this is that essentially what you've got is all of these resources being, like, more of the sort of familial resources being allocated to raising offspring. Mm-hmm. And so even though they are not directly, you know, they're not directly producing their own offspring, they are making the offspring of their sort of family, of their kin, more viable, mm-hmm. which is really good.
So I'm truly failing at this Gunkle thing.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm doing nothing of the sort. This is actually
an intervention.
I haven't even met my second.
You truly are an evolutionary dead end.
I really was like, I'm going to take a road less traveled. I'm going to move away and I'm not going to pay for anything.
Oh my lord. Yeah, but look, this is the thing, right? That's kind of a hypothesis there, that you know, the idea that being gay means that, yes, okay, you're not producing offspring of yourself, but you are helping, you know, your genes propagate, or genes really similar to yours propagate, by ensuring that, you know, there's better care taken of your offspring. And also it means that, let's say, you know, there's a father that leaves and goes somewhere else, like, you still have, like, basically two parents, you know, sort of raising children. Mm. And try not look at this purely based on a sort of human right now situation. This is something that could have existed earlier in our evolution, right? Because we're not the only human species to have existed, and we've not always existed in societies like this. You know, natural selection for us nowadays is not super relevant, you know. I mean, there's still some things here and there, but largely we have removed the selective pressures that cause, you know, people to not be able to produce offspring. Like, even to the point of having artificial insemination. Oh, you can't naturally produce a child? Whatever.
Yeah.
Like in reality, in a natural selection sense, people wouldn't be producing kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now they can, and that's what we've hacked nature.
Like, natural selection isn't an issue for us.
That doesn't mean we're evolving. We're definitely evolving.
not necessarily down to selection pressure.
Am I right in thinking that, genetically speaking, a gay uncle would be as closely related to the child of their sister as a grandparent, because it's two steps?
Hold on. Oh, it's more complex than that.
Okay, but anyway, the point being, there's two steps of separation away, and whatever I can't remember the specific maths I learned in A-level biology, and it's probably wrong anyway, but the point being that, like, what's great about that is that grandparents do naturally lend child caring. Like, that is a thing we do see very often, is grandparents helping out. But also, the uncle is going to be like fitter, and also, like, be working maybe more, and it's going to be producing more resources than maybe a grandparent is. So, like, there's so many genetic advantages to this.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say that, I guess, broadly speaking, they're about the same level of similarity. There are going to be differences, though, because they're similar based on siblings rather than based on going down a line. Mm-hmm. It's complex, and I don't want to say anything specific, but yeah, broadly speaking, they're about the same, roughly, you could probably say, right? But yeah, the question is whether, though, this research, this data, is it relevant to people that don't live in this area? You know what I mean? Like, is it relevant to people who aren't Samoan? Because, you know, Samoan culture is not necessarily the same as a lot of Western cultures. You know, there's, it's localized, centered on tight-knit extended families. You know, like, okay, for example, we've been talking about this, we've been joking about this. Vigard, you're not, like, you know, sort of living in the same place as your extended family. Neither am I, actually. And look, neither are you.
Nope.
You know, we've all moved away from our families, and we're not taking part in any childcare at all, right? Mm-hmm. So, is this really relevant to everyone else? What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's relevant that we may still carry the genes that sort of would push us towards a tendency of this, if it weren't for the fact that we had other cultural pressures in our society, which mean that maybe this natural instinct might be sort of overlooked or incentivized against or sort of pushed down. I think that is relevant. And also, you know, we talk a lot on the podcast about how, like, you can have a gene for something, but it not be activated if the sort of cultural system that once activated it sort of dies out, right? So, like, it might be that if we started sort of slowly bringing something like this back in, those genes would then be reactivated and we would actually that structure would uphold itself. Mm. But because there's no, we don't look at our society and see anything even resembling this, we just never like evolve, quote unquote, evolve like mentally in a single lifetime towards this structure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Basically, what I'll say is that this is an idea that exists for some way that a genetic cause of homosexuality could, you know, could be beneficial, right? By which I mean it could continue to exist within the gene pool because it confers some sort of survival benefit to, you know, the offspring. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that this is the only way that people can be gay. I kind of want to talk a little bit about the ethics of gay gene research.
Yeah.
Because we've done it in the gay gene episode, but I just need to touch on it again. Look, we've not found any one gene for being gay. It's unlikely that there is one gene for being gay because, as we've said, being gay isn't just one bloody thing. Vigard, what do we often say on this podcast about being gay?
Being gay is not a disease, it's a symptom.
Exactly.
Like,
so,
like having diarrhea?
Yeah, exactly. So diarrhea, there's no one cause of diarrhea. Now, you can have diarrhea because you ate something, you know, you ate something funny, or you could have diarrhea because, you know, like, oh God, what else?
IBS.
What are the reasons? IBS, you could have diarrhea because you took a bunch of laxatives, right? Like, there are any number of reasons that you could have diarrhea.
And all reasons are valid.
Yes, exactly. But they come from different root causes. And so, you know, you trying to cure diarrhea wouldn't be the same as trying to cure, you know, oh God.
Polio.
Polio. Yeah. Yes, exactly, right? No, see, and talking about curing, right? If we, this is the thing as well. The search for a gay gene is itself a little bit like iffy because as soon as you find, you know, a gene or a group of genes or anything that increases the likelihood of being gay, you're inherently going to have people who want to remove that gene from, you know, their next generation because they don't want people to be gay. And so it's a really difficult line to walk here. So it's unlikely that there's one gene that causes gayness. It's unlikely that it's just a genetic thing in and of itself. It's likely an interplay between genetic and environmental factors. That's not to say that you can groom someone into being gay. When I say environmental factors, I don't just mean, oh, they grew up and they saw a drag queen and now he's 21 and sucking.
Yeah.
Right. What I mean is, like, you know, different chemicals that are present, you know, let's say in the womb or anything like that. Environmental factors is much more than what you think.
You're saying they're spraying gay genes over us with plants.
Yeah, chemtrails.
Yeah, chemtrails. Yeah.
gay trails? They should be really colourful.
Yeah.
Said. They're white. That's kind of boring.
What do you think rainbows are?
Oh, yeah. That's where they are.
The gay.
They've been distracting us with the white chemtrails to distract from the real chemtrails, the gay rainbows.
The rainbows. And that's why...
And that's why God sent the rainbow to tell Noah to be gay. Because he made all these animals have sex with each other, and God was like, God, just stop making things have sex. Just be gay, Noah.
Look,
that's right?
I read it. It was a TikTok.
The takeaway from this episode, the takeaway from this episode is that, look, searching, you are very annoying. I'm reaching the end of my tether. The takeaway from this episode is that, look, yeah, searching for a cause for gayness is definitely interesting, and it could give us better insight into, you know, just our biology and our development and all of these sorts of things. Although there's a problem with doing that whilst people are still very homophobic, because ultimately it's just going to result in eugenics,
bad. I also feel like it comes from a kind of weird place of like having to find a justification for gayness. Like, look, we found out why gay evolved, so now it's a real thing. It's not just people pretending or like they're getting infected by TikToks or
but also
reprobates or they're going to hell
or the rainbow
by the day of the devil or the rainbow chemtrails. Yeah,
but also again, inherently, it shows our own cultural biases because we're looking for a cause for gayness without respecting the fact that there is an entire spectrum of sexuality, right? There's no sort of clear demarcation between straight, bi, and gay, right? There's going to be people that are on the edges, that are fuzzy, that are technically bi, but describe themselves as gay because they, you know, they wouldn't. And the number of straight guys I know that I've spoken to that are like, oh yeah, I mean, I've thought about this. And like, strictly speaking, they are bisexual men, but they class themselves as straight because they're so straight that they there's no point in them even engaging in being bi because, like, because of the cultural sort of prejudice and whatnot, you know, associated with that.
We're also not looking for a gene, for example, for like recreational sexual activity, which is very rare in the majority of the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Like we don't just like we could be like most of the time just asexual and then have sex for reproduction.
Yeah.
And most animals are that.
Yeah.
And we're not going, oh, what's the gene for that? We, you know, there's a couple of animals that do that, but most of them don't. And we're not going, that's weird. There's something wrong with us. We need to find the gene for that and a justification as to why. It's just, that's just the norm, right?
Yeah, but also plenty of animals engage in homosexual activity as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's not even like it's abnormal. The point is that we have a cultural idea. We're trying to find a genetic reason for a cultural concept. And that's inherently flawed because there's too many things that put you in this cultural category and there's too many things that exclude you from this cultural category for it to really be strictly biological in nature. Do you know what I mean? As in to explain all gayness biologically is not going to come under, you know, just one single thing. Like you can't find one cause for this whole thing because it's too broad, it's too messy, it's too fuzzy at the edges. But that's about it. I kind of just want to do one more thing. It's a quick fire quiz.
Dun 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 dun. Gunkle edition.
So the rules for the quick fire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins. What do they win, Luke?
They win a one-way ticket back to Norway. Bad Gunkle.
Well, no, then I can be a good Gunkle.
Geffy's win a Gunkle.
What's your buzzer?
And what's your buzzer?
E.
That was Luke and then Vigard for anyone listening. Okay, so the question is, what is the name of the group of gay men in Samoa who are particularly effeminate and take good care of their nieces and nephews?
Luke, I claim immunity to this answer because you couldn't even say it correctly most of the time.
Ding, 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 that is wrong. Vigard, what is your answer?
Something Fafinia, something.
Close enough. Fafaina, I think.
I thought it was Fafinina.
Congratulations, you've won a one-way ticket back to Norway.
Whoa, oh my god, I get to meet my other Geffy.
Wow, I haven't even met him, that's so bad. But that is all from us this week. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to Executive Producer Denito and Glitchrap. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCupfold everywhere. You can follow Vigard to Norway.
Yes, follow me into it's Vigard.
Goodbye.